conflict source as well as what worries me.
Okay, let's begin. This conference committee has obviously, like all major conference committees, has had some ups and downs. This one we have a very unique up and down. Somebody took the bill, the copy of the bill. Apparently it was a cart with all the copies of the bills for everybody, and it disappeared. It's been refound. So if everybody can grab a seat, and when that cart comes in here in about 2 minutes, I'm told, is that right?
Yes.
2 minutes. Just stay where you are, and we'll have staff pass it out where you're seated. So,
you're done with your speech.
Representative Murphy has made it clear I should give a speech now when I have the attention of everybody before the bill comes, but I didn't have a speech prepared. So,
don't miss the opportunity, Senator.
Okay, let me think about that. Yeah, apparently we do have spreadsheets, so let's get those handed out to everybody, and then we'll hand out the bill when it shows up. And again, we'll hand it out where you're sitting, standing, whatever. So, you know, we worked with the four articles. Okay, we worked with the four articles. I'm not sure we need reports as such. I'm going to ask each of kind of name the article chairperson, whatever, if there are questions. Concerns, comments, not giving speeches, whatever. But Article 1 on our side, Senator Saxhog, and I think on House side, I'm not sure who the lead, Representative Wiginius, or I'm not sure. Representative Hansen, although not a conferee. I've had a chance to go through the bill, the draft, gone through the spreadsheet, so I think I have a pretty good idea of what's in here. Any comments from either Senator Saxhog, Representative Hansen? Representative Hansen?
Mr. Chair, it's a compromise, and it's a good article.
Okay. And I know there are concerns about a couple of, I'll argue, smaller areas, but I do think that I know, Senator Saxhog, that you were comfortable.
Well, yes. There are a couple of the lines here that I ought to just say something on. First is the small grants, and I guess the key thing to say about that is there's no delay. They're going to be done. The first ones will be done this year, and I think that's the key piece there. The other piece that I think people will notice is that there is a new item in there for prevention and trying to find out where some of the emerald ash borer may be hiding. So I think those are two of the provisions that are a little different, but I think we worked them out well.
So do you have them? I didn't distribute. Okay. Any other comments about Article 1? Okay, I know Article 2, the leads were Representative Wiginius and Senator Anderson. I should tell everybody in the room, I'm told by Ms. Haig that apparently we've got copies of the bill, but not as many, and there are copies being made. I'm not quite sure what has gotten lost in translation. We do obviously have some problems given the hour. So normally I would say let's hold off for a couple hours and get all the copies of the bill. That would put us in some jeopardy, I think, on our respective floors. So I'm going to ask members of the public maybe if you can share copies of the bill. As we proceed, we will have copies available, and I apologize for this. So Senator Anderson and Representative Wagenius, I don't know if there are any comments you wish to make about Article 2.
Mr. Chair, I'll just mention that the House and Senate spent different amounts of money, and we did reconcile that and use the Senate bottom line of a 10% reserve in the first year and put the money in the second year, all that money, to work for clean water. So we did make some changes within those appropriations and took a number of House and Senate ideas combined. So I think it ended up with a really good result and more money out there for clean water, which I thought was a good result.
Representative Wagenius, anything you might?
We have a strong waters position because we were able to combine the strengths of the House and the Senate. So I'm pleased with the water position.
I'm not sure if you had your Senator Frederickson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I did, and I want to concur with what Senator Anderson, Representative Wagenius said. This section funds proven programs that are in our state agencies, and they're proven, they're effective, and this significantly increases the funding of those programs. If you just look through the spreadsheet when you have the chance and look at the major programs that are enhanced with this bill, this is a major step forward for clean water in Minnesota.
Okay. Article 3 was the park section. I think the leads against Senator Anderson and Representative Lilly. I'm not sure any comments on the park section.
Mr. Chair, I guess, again, I would say I was pleased that the House took the Senate overall target, so they had reserved a large amount of funds in the second year, I think, and we ended up with the same dollar amount that the Senate had, and actually the proportions for the different park systems came out almost the same as where we started. We did include the House's some of their solar provisions. That was a very strongly held position, and so I think the end result is a very good bill.
Representative Lilly, any comment?
Just real briefly, Mr. Chair, it was good to work with Senator Anderson and Senator Torres Ray, and certainly Representative Wagenius was very much a lead in this as well. And just want to thank the staff, partisan and nonpartisan. But there's exciting stuff in here, and we're, you know, Minnesotans are going to see. There's, as she mentioned, a lot of good outcomes, and you know, aim to be fair across the state, and those were achieved. And I really think the future will be positive because we've got planning and all sorts of good things. But I think Minnesotans will be proud of this section.
And Article 4 was, I think, a difficult article because it lent itself to more subjectivity in terms of the area. And so there were a variety of just excellent proposals that came in front of, I think, both Senator Tomassoni's division, our subcommittee chaired by Senator Scogin, and Representative Murphy, I know, in front of your committee. And so I think there was a great deal of difficulty. I think we've put together a good product. And, you know, Representative Murphy and I were elected together a couple of years ago to serve in the legislature. And we've always enjoyed working together. I'm not sure we've ever this is the first time we've ever chaired a conference committee together. We've been on conference committees before. The first time we've been co-chairs. And so I think the unfortunate part of Article 4 is that where this article was less than might have been in the first configuration back in 2005, 2006, and where we've had the diminishment in sales tax revenue, that there are certainly some very significant areas in either the House or the Senate bill that were not funded. There are some very significant areas that I would argue are a little bit underfunded. But having said that, it's, I think, a good compromise. And Representative Murphy, I hope you agree.
I do, Mr. Chair.
Good. And I think we should also, something like this, acknowledge our staffs, as Representative Murphy indicated, both partisan and nonpartisan. I'd hesitate to start. You know, I can go through the House, the Senate staff, obviously my staff, Ms. Hague, Ms. Babine, and but, you know, Ms. Conley and Mr. Chen and so on, and Mr. McCormick, who made the mistake of leaving Senate employment. We'd still, but I hesitate to start naming all the names because I know most of the people, not everybody, but the staff work on something like this is incredible. Now, what I'd like to do is give the public here an opportunity to testify on what's here, and I would certainly not – nobody should hesitate if they would like to express some concern or about omission, whatever problems in the bill. Certainly, if people have had a chance to look at the language, if you've noted a problem that we should correct, I have not noted anything, but if there's anybody who wishes to testify, please don't hesitate to do so. Is there? Sure. Just identify yourself for the record and.
Sure. Do I need a.
Yeah, just sit down. And
there is no chair.
There's no chair.
There is no
That's
chair.
Why you're there. Okay.
Well, the people in the public have to get a chair.
It's all right. I'm good. I've been doing this all day. It's right.
Somebody from the public has to offer a chair.
Can we have a chair for the
yes,
witness
have to
somewhere?
Three chairs.
Does somebody mind? Okay. Mr. Straczynski. All right.
All right.
Yeah, gentlemen. Let's come in.
Yay.
And an extra million.
Yeah, that's what Bill's thinking, exactly.
This is nice. You guys are great hosters. Hostess and hostesses. My name is Nicole Hendrickson, and I'm here to support the Article 4. And what I do for a profession is I'm a teacher. I'm an Indian education teacher for the Osseo School District. And what I have found through my experience is that integrating language and culture into our curriculum has really made a noticeable impact on our students. Our graduation rate is in the 90th to 100th percentile for our students for the last 6 years, which is approximately – can you guys hear me okay? Okay. Which is approximately 20% above the district average and 50% above the national average. In addition to being a teacher, I'm a parent of a 2.5-year-old son, and that's what really motivated me to want to get involved in our language revitalization. I'm from the Ojibwe Nation, and it's my top priority to retain our language. And I had a choice to continue to live in California and go to Berkeley, or to go here to the University of Minnesota grad school program. And I chose Minnesota for the primary reason of language, that this is where our people live and have always lived, and this is where I can rise, this is where I can learn my language, and this is where I can bring my son up in a good state. So I want to thank you all for all your hard work, you know, and for your support. It really demonstrates that you are committed to preserving the indigenous languages here in Minnesota. And I really, truly mean that. Okay? So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who wished to testify? Thanks or compliments or otherwise.
Ready for a motion?
In one second.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I think this experience the conference committee has been incredible in many ways, and sometimes it was awesome and sometimes it was stressful and frustrating, but we worked through it. And in the couple of years that I've been at the legislature and working on conference committees, I've never seen people from both sides, from the House and the Senate, cooperate so much and work through the problems rather than huff and puff. And I appreciate it so much, every individual that worked on this, the solutions to the wonderful, wonderful challenge that we had before us and that we will continue to have before us. And it's the promise for the future that so much will be made better. And I think that we can all be very proud of our work, and the staff has been tremendous, and I appreciate the total cooperation of all the participants, and you have my admiration and my sincere thanks.
And Representative Murphy, I'd echo that and thank, I mentioned the staff, but obviously thank the conferees. Obviously, I've worked closely with the folks on the Senate side and I'm friends with everybody on the House side. But it's been fun and exciting, whatever, to work with you and your conferees. But as you suggested, at some point during the course of the conference committee, this has been a unique conference committee to the extent that it's derived from a vote of 1.656 million people in Minnesota. And when we work on conference committees, whether when I chaired State Departments or chairing a supplemental finance conference committee or Senator Anderson chairing environment, Representative Wiginius chairing environment finance, that's kind of in the normal course of things around this place. And it's a very unique opportunity to have looked at this process, beginning with Senator Lessard back 12 years ago or so, continuing to the present day with the various efforts in the House and the Senate. People like, I do want to mention Senator Sams again. Representative Hackbarth was the author of this legislation at one point. Senator Pogemiller, Representative Sertich.
Osmond.
I'm sorry, Representative Osmond. Thank you. So this has been a very unique process that went through a lot of legislative configurations, but then with a culmination on November 4th. And then to reach this stage is a fairly unique legislative process. So I can only tell people who are here, both members and the public, that this is the first year of the 25-year process. I think we all have concerns with each of the articles in I would suggest, some smaller fashions. We learn from this. Having worked very hard with Representative Murphy on Article 4, I don't think it's a perfect article, but I'm pleased with the product. And we have a chance to learn from this, move on from this. I think we'll expect to have the continued very good work relative to Article 1 from the Heritage Council. I think we'll continue to have the very good work from the stakeholders, whether it be the Clean Water Council, whether it be the State Arts Board, whether it be the Historical Society, whether it be the Metropolitan Parks, and utilizing this money in a way that is going to make a difference for Minnesotans for decades to come. So it's been an exciting process.
Chairman?
Senator Frederickson.
Are you ready for a motion?
If you'd like.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the document identified as CCRSF 1231, dated May 18, 2009, 2:56 p.m., be adopted as a conference committee report and that the report be recommended to pass.
On Senator Frederickson's motion, is there a discussion? Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate all of your hard work and the work of the conferees and all the stakeholders on this piece of legislation. It is a historic day. It was a historic day when we put this amendment on the ballot after many years of attempts, and historic when we passed the amendment, and now that we are actually implementing the dream of Senator Lessard, it hardly seems real that Minnesota is entering into a new era of conservation and protection of our natural resources. I was at a national conference in December of sportsman legislators, and I can tell you that when it comes to the sportsmen of this country, Minnesota is the envy of the nation in terms of what we've been able to accomplish, not just upon the initiative of sportsmen of Minnesota, but the coalitions that have assembled along the way, from conservation groups, environmental groups, and then moving on to the arts community and our cultural resource communities. It took that much to pass this amendment, and I'm very proud of that, and that was something that I really emphasized to my colleagues around the country, that it is not just sportsmen that can get it done. It's going to take all of us. And that means that it is all the more critical that the three-legged stool concept that was brought about by Senator Pogemiller be maintained throughout the 25 years of this amendment. The critical piece for me, and not that the rest of it isn't important, but of particular interest to me has been the activities regarding the Habitat Fund, the Outdoor Heritage Fund, and the Lasard Heritage Council. It was widely recognized that the work of the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Council provided wise, far-reaching recommendations, and I appreciate that the conference committee has saw fit to honor those funding appropriations. I was increasingly concerned throughout the session that there was a disdain for the work of the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Council. I don't know if it was because citizens had a majority on that council or if the council was named after former Senator Bob Lasard, who had probably equal friends and enemies wherever he turned. But the fact of the matter is that the process for the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Council that we established, mirrored after the LCCMR, worked, and it worked better than we envisioned. They put together proposals in a very short period of time, and they did so with a consensus amongst the conservation community that this was the way that their decisions were wise and the way to go. So, I want to appreciate the conferees sticking to the appropriation recommendations of the council. I do remain concerned, however, that the attacks, so to speak, on the council have some remaining vestiges in this conference report. And I'm concerned that those attacks will continue afterwards. I want people to know that by no means is some of the restrictions that were attempted or even remaining in this conference report are an open door or opening the crack to further changes on the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Council's governance. They have done good work, and there have been serious attempts to hamstring the job that they did, and despite those attempts, they had widespread consensus on their recommendations. So if there is an inkling amongst anyone that this is somehow opening the door to changing the governance of the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Council, they're wrong. The sportsmen of Minnesota will remain vigilant, as they always have, in making sure that this amendment passes and that this money is spent wisely. I think I probably heard from more sportsmen than any about changing their minds on the need for funding the arts, for example, and that there is incredible synergy that can be accomplished. And I see that synergy between the arts and sportsmen growing over the next 25 years. Perhaps even they may someday be, their recommendations may even be in the same article. But I just want to make sure people know that the sportsmen of Minnesota will remain vigilant. They will not tolerate being hamstrung. And with the changes that are in this conference committee report, some of them I have deep concerns, that will not stop. That will not stop the involvement of sportsmen for Minnesota's natural resources. I think that point needs to be made strenuously. This is a community that despite their sometimes bright clothing in blaze orange, has been sometimes ignored, often ignored. And I can only say that with this, the passage of this, their voice will only grow. So, Mr. Chair, once again, I appreciate the work on your bill. I think this is a historic day. By all means, we are, in my opinion, 99% of the way there. I congratulate most of all Minnesotans for seeing the wisdom of passing this amendment, because it is as we envisioned, that the environment is, and the arts, is usually the last to be funded and the first to be cut. But that with a historic budget deficit, then that was not the case. And we were able to accomplish and avoid some of the problems that we envisioned in tough budget times when we passed this amendment. So compliments of all, most of all, go to the citizens of Minnesota for supporting this endeavor.
Senator Chaudhry, thank you very much for your remarks. Representative Murphy and Senator Cohen, our chair, has had to step out for a conference of some sort. So do other members have comments they'd like to make while we wait for our chairs to come back? Senator Anderson.
Sure, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I don't have a lot to say. I just want to really strike a positive note because, you know, this has been grueling. The legislative process is always grueling and difficult. Putting together this bill in just a few days' time after, you know, the process of the legislative session, putting it together piece by piece, it's difficult, it's time-consuming, it's hard work to find compromise between legislators and all the stakeholders who care so deeply about this. And I think it's been difficult and hard work, but I'm trying to remind myself, Mr. Chair, Senator Fredrickson, as you keep reminding me, I think it's time to really just try to take a deep breath and remember this is something we need to be celebrating. And kind of rise above all the difficult details that we've been hashing out for a long time and realize the significance of what we've accomplished here. And when I think about that, I feel very emotional about this. This is something that, you know, I was thinking of, I'm getting too emotional here, because when I stop to think and stop working and actually stop and think about it, we really have done something that should make us the envy of the country. And the phrase that keeps going through my head is that money can't buy happiness, right? And we all know that, and it's true. But this is all about money and what money can buy. And in Minnesota now, money's going to buy a sense of security, that we're always going to have clean water to drink, and our children will. And this money's going to make sure that all of us and our family and our friends and our neighbors have a place to go, be outdoors, be outside, enjoy the wilderness, enjoy the lakes, enjoy the land, enjoy all our pastimes that we choose to use when we go outdoors. And that all these things about our heritage that we treasure so much will be protected. And I know, I'm ready to stop. But I just really wanted to say that because we've, you know, everybody's been working hard and this has been an emotional process. But we all need to take a moment to really thank the people of Minnesota and everyone for getting us here today. I'll stop.
No, I'm sorry. We've run into a small problem. I'm going to recess the hearing right now for a few minutes. I'd ask members to stick around and we'll be in touch. But we need to recess for a few minutes. I need to go upstairs for a second. Okay. So we're in recess.
Okay.